Let's turn now in the scriptures to 2 Corinthians chapter 2, if you have your Bible. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. And we'll be reading verses 1 through 17. 2 Corinthians 2, verses 1 through 17. If you remember in 1 Corinthians, there was the man who was committing adultery with his mother, incest, right? And this chapter comes back to that, to talk about that same man. And so that gives you a little context for what we'll hear. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 1, these are God's words. But I determined this with myself, that I would not come again to you in heaviness. For if I make you sorry, who is he then that maketh me glad, but the same which is made sorry by me? And I wrote this same unto you, lest when I came, I should have sorrow from them of whom I ought to rejoice, having confidence in you all, that my joy is the joy of you all. For out of much affliction and anguish of heart I wrote unto you with many tears, not that ye should be grieved, but that ye might know the love which I have more abundantly unto you. But if any have caused grief, he hath not grieved me, but in part, that I may not overcharge you all. Sufficient to such a man is this punishment, which was inflicted of many. So that contrarywise ye ought rather to forgive him, and comfort him, lest perhaps such a one should be swallowed up with overmuch sorrow. Wherefore I beseech you that ye would confirm your love toward him. For to this end also did I write, that I might know the proof of you, whether ye be obedient in all things. To whom ye forgive anything, I forgive also. For if I forgave anything, to whom I forgave it, for your sakes forgave I it in the person of Christ, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. Furthermore, when I came to Troas to preach Christ's gospel, and a door was opened unto me of the Lord, I had no rest in my spirit, because I found not Titus my brother. But taking my leave of them, I went from thence into Macedonia. Now thanks be unto God, which always causeth us to triumph in Christ, and maketh manifest the savor of his knowledge by us in every place. For we are unto God a sweet savor of Christ in them that are saved and in them that perish. To the one we are the savor of death unto death, and to the other the savor of life unto life. And who is sufficient for these things? For we are not as many which corrupt the word of God, but as of sincerity, but as of God, in the sight of God speak we in Christ. And those are God's words. So the Apostle Paul here begins chapter 2 explaining why he did not come to Corinth yet, through verse 4, and then writes about that incestuous man through verse 11. That man, if you remember, had been excommunicated, cut off from the church for his gross and heinous and unrepentant sin. But it seems as though the shame of his excommunication has worked by God's grace to the restoring of his soul. And so Paul is calling upon the church here to restore the man and give instructions. He gives instructions for how and why the church ought to do so. And this a grace of God, that he restores the one he disciplines. And we'll be hearing more about church discipline this evening in Isaiah. And then to the end of the chapter, he informs them of his service to Christ and how he has, what he's been doing in the ministry and the success in the preaching of the gospel in many places. So that here we are instructed that the goal of the church, of church discipline, is that they should hopefully repent. And if they would repent, they should be restored into the church and forgiven and loved by God's people. And those who are under church discipline, that we know we should pray for their restoration and recovery. We did that this morning for the gardeners. And moreover, we ought to pray to the Lord the preaching of the gospel would have success, not only here, but throughout the world, and that many would come unto Christ in faith. And when we hear, even in other congregations, of the gospel faithfully being preached, and success in the gospel ministry, that God is working in people to come unto Him, we should give praise to God. Now, we're not to be idolatrous of our own congregation, in that we would have negative thoughts to where God is working in other congregations, but rather we should seek first His kingdom and its growth and His glory in all things. And if that's not here, and if that's another place, then we praise God for that. Well, let's pray. Our Father, thank You again for Your Word. We're thankful once again for church discipline. And we're thankful that You give that to the body of Christ to reclaim sinners from their sin. That when they go wayward, when we go wayward, You bring us back even by the discipline of the church and the censures given by Your elders to the people. And Father, we're thankful as well that You're the God who uses church discipline to warn the rest of the body of Christ, the rest of the members of Your body, from entering into sin and the great effects of sin. That it goes to the killing of our own soul and leads to death. And we heard that this morning as well in Proverbs chapter 7. Father, we do pray and ask for Your help, that You would restore us, You would reclaim us from our sins. Each one here who has gone wayward, and each one who has not professed faith publicly and truly believes, we pray that You would turn them and restore them to You, even though they might have fooled us. Father, we do pray also as well for Phil. We continue to pray for Phil as he's not feeling well. We pray that You would heal him and strengthen his body, that You would grant him to be with us once again next Lord's Day. Now, Father, we pray also for Elias, that You would strengthen him. And then, Father, we pray for Dina, that You would strengthen her and give her energy and strength and heal her of her many maladies that she struggles with in her body continually. Well, Father, we do pray and ask for Your blessing upon our extended family. We prayed this morning for those here, but for those extended family who have gone out from us and have come under the discipline of the church and been excommunicated, just like the man that we heard here in 2 Corinthians chapter 2. Our Father, we pray for them, even the children of ours who have gone out, our grandchildren, some, and that You would call them back to Yourself, if that be Your will. That You would cause them to repent, You cause them to hear in their hearts, their minds, the gospel that they've heard many times growing up. That they would remember and see how great of sinners they are, and how much they need Jesus, Your Son, to save them from their sins. And Father, we plead that Your name above all things, and these kind of things, would be praised, because You are the restorer of the many sinners unto You and to life again. Father, we plead today also for this congregation, that You would provide for us a worship meeting place in the coming months, this month or next month. Pray that You would guide us, especially the elders and deacons, as we work to find that place. We ask that You would provide a place that is a good price, that's not going to hurt us financially anymore, but something that we even pray would be so generous that You would keep providing as you've always provided for us. And Father, make us to be godly givers and lovers of your worship and your church. Father, we pray that you would raise up elders and deacons, the next generation for this congregation. And you would bring them here. And you would raise them up from within. Father, may your name, even in that, be exalted and praised as the God who provides every good thing at the right time. And for this congregation, you've always provided perfectly at the right time. You've always been faithful in that. And so, Father, we call upon you to do it again. Father, we pray for our nation, that you would turn this nation to yourself back from their sins that is great, and the abominations and wickedness is rising up to you. And great anger from you surely is coming forth. We pray that you would judge righteously, if you are to judge. Father, we ask that you would show mercy, if it even be for the few righteous who are here in this nation. And because of us, we're here. Father, we pray that you would relieve us from your judgments. And yet we know that might not be your plan. As we'll see even this evening, that might not be your plan. It wasn't the plan for the holy seed, the ones who believed on you, who went into Babylon. But you brought them out, and you caused your remnant, your remaining people of believers, to come out from there. So, Father, we pray that you would do that again. And Father, we pray that you would cause our leaders, our nation's leaders, to love you, and you would save them. You would turn them from their sins to Christ, your Son, and send your Spirit by your grace. That you would, as well, Father, give us success in dealing with our governing leaders and officials whenever we have to do that. And that and above all things, we would respond with praise to you, who is the King of kings and the ruler of rulers in Christ your Son. May his name be exalted, and may you grant to this congregation, in the midst of this nation, to be sanctified. We pray that you would send forth your Spirit and power upon us and cause such a true revival to occur, that there would be so many who are zealous for the gospel, who would pray fervently, who would love to be in your worship and hear the gospel preached, and that you would cause us to bow upon our knees by your Spirit, even in great sorrow over our own sins and the dishonor we bring upon the name of Christ, and bring us to repentance. Father, we are a lukewarm and comfortable, complacent sort of people. And so, Father, send your Holy Spirit to do that great work of reviving us, even making us alive in our hearts, and enliven us with zeal and boldness and in our affections for you. For we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.